opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Hey everybody, welcome to another fun-filled episode of F'd Up Farming. I'm your host, Bubbles, apparently. This evening, we got a guy named Giggles.
Toots. Giggles is already taken. Toots. Don't you dare take Hadley's name.
We got Toots over there, Bubbles over here. Now let's have some fucking fun.
All right, Tyler, you want to lead off with our sponsors?
I'm going to let you start tonight.
All right, well, I'm going to start off with Cliffs Farms up in Hepburn, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for some good quality Hereford genetics, look for Cliffs Farms.
Or Maine, or Maintainer.
Well, there you go.
They run the gambit up there at Canada.
That they do.
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. Get you a good old Saskatooch while you're up there in Saskatoon.
Have fun with that. Have fun with that. I'm going to follow up with a Superior Cattle Company. That would be Moe Cattle Company.
Quality
Angus genetics. And Sim Angus genetics.
Since 2023.
That's what you're wanting. And let's be honest, if you're in the Texas Panhandle, Saskatoon might be a little bit far up there. Maybe you ought to just try to, you know, what do they say? Shop local, shop often. We need you to shop about three times, not that often.
I mean, just in the next couple months.
Yeah, like we're not asking a lot of people.
We rarely do. Just listen to our podcast.
I don't think we ask nearly enough of you people, is all I'm saying.
It's really a one-way street on this. It's all give. We give everything.
Just give, give, give.
And they just take.
Every day we're out here, we're busting our balls. We're breaking our balls. We're just giving it everything we got. Now we don't get a Christmas party.
Son of a bitch.
And also, we have Meek Club Lambs out of Gageby, Texas.
Best people and best lambs in the business.
Mama Meek and Papa Meek, people of the year, Wheeler County.
Very well deserved.
People of the year. Period. End of the sentence.
There you go.
Fucking awesome sheep. Why don't you go ahead and finish us off with this last one here, boys?
We've got the Texas Baverick. Texas Beverage and Package in Groom, Texas.
Awesome selection, great prices, very reasonable. You can get your beer, your liquor, your wines.
Your mixers.
They do have some mixers.
So also like frozen drinks, stuff you can put in the freezer. They've got some of them in the cooler.
I'm going to call that as a mixed cocktail.
Is that what that would be?
Yeah, the sloshies.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was
they're
one of
boozy
those.
Boozy popsicles.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, frozen drinks.
Well, yeah, but that kind of falls in. It's a margarita. It's a cocktail.
Okay, fair enough.
But we're getting away from the point here. The point is, go to Groom, Texas. Check the guy out. Awesome. Very helpful and
knowledgeable. Stuff, yes.
If you just kind of tell him what you want, he'll point you in the right direction. And if he doesn't have exactly what you're looking for, A, he'll get it. Or B, he'll turn you on to something even good. Even better.
Even gooder?
Even gooder.
Even gooder. Gooder. He's even
gooder. He's even gooder at the liquor store business than we are at the podcasting.
He is. That he is.
Substantially. Leaps and bounds.
But he is extremely knowledgeable.
But y'all check it out. It's a block or just a little bit north of, what's that?
What is that street?
Business 40 on Broadway.
So
it's Main Street. It's Broadway.
It is the Main Street. You'll see it. It's got a big sign.
It's right
next,
on it.
Next to the grocery store. Between the grocery store. And
right
the
north of the grocery store.
I feel like we're butchering this the further we go.
Boy,
by.
Howdy. We better get out of this deal or he's gonna start taking away the cool stuff.
All right. Us. So speaking of Texas Beverage Company, we have been gifted by them.
That's Broadway Ave, by the way.
On
Broadway.
So now we have the booze review brought to you by Texas Beverage and Package.
We have Penelope Architect Series French Oak Staves. Straight bourbon whiskey. Didn't he say they were out of California?
I think so. Or was that the other one?
It's bottled by Penelope Bourbon, bottled in Bardstown, Kentucky. Yeah, so a blueprint for the future of precious blending. The first build in this series combines our signature four-grain mash bill with two styles of French oak staved, working in collaboration with Tonnerie Le Redoux of France. The market leader in oak barrel manufacturing innovation, we selected each stave using their state-of-the-art oak scan process to construct a truly memorable flavor profile. After all, the best architecture leaves no room for error.
Beautiful bottle.
Very nice bottle, as all the Penelope's that we've tried have been. This one's got a nice French blue label on it.
This is a. Do you already say this is 104 proof?
I did not get into the specifics. You should.
This is a little lighter than what we've tried in the past, because the last two were 115, I think.
Yeah, 115, 120, somewhere in that ballpark.
It's got good legs on it.
You get a lot of the oak.
You do. It's very
on the nose.
Yeah.
A lot of oak and like some. Stone fruit, maybe? I'm gonna say like a peach. Because it's like peach pie. Like you still get the spice with the peach.
Yeah, I would go. I was fixing to say peach.
Yeah.
Right when you said it, because that
very peach pie on the nose.
Very, very sweet. Very heavy. You breathe in it a little bit, you can get some sugar on your tongue.
Boy, you taste it, you get some sugar on your tongue too. Very smooth for a was it 104?
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, that is smooth. You can really taste the oak. And it's not that sometimes harsh oak of an over-oaked whiskey.
No, it doesn't taste like the outside of a brisket.
Yeah.
It's very, very mellow.
Smooth. Yeah, mellow.
But it's very oak forward, but it's a very smooth, mellow oak.
It is. That's
if that makes any sense.
That might be my favorite flavor of oak that I have tried so far.
Yeah, it's like
not that I hate oak in it, like in other bourbons, just that's...
Well, it's that French oak. That's what you're liking about it.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Frenches, aren't you?
I like French toast and French fries. That's good.
Not French dressing. That is very good. I really like the mouthfeel on it. Because it's got just enough heat to let you realize what you're drinking, mm-hmm. but it doesn't like burn, and it coats the tongue and the palate very well.
It does. It has a very nice mouthfeel.
Also, I'm very glad that you finally got your air conditioner kind of put together this week.
Yeah, that's no joke. So that's another thing we've been doing. We've been sweating. We've been putting in sweat for this show.
But anywho.
Not this week.
That's a very good bourbon.
That is a
very good bourbon.
You want to cheat and see what you did on your last Penelope?
No, I not kind of. I know kind of what I want to do. But I also have to make sure it matches up with something here.
I know where I'm at.
Well, then give him a score, bud.
I'm going to go straight up 8.
Oh, straight up 8.
Yeah.
I was going 7.
My wife trying to break down the door.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going 7. It's good. I don't like it as good as the barrel strength.
I think I like it better than the barrel strength.
But it is certainly better than the Texas Select.
I'll give you that
one. It's still a lot smoother. It's still got a good oak flavor to it.
Yeah.
I like that. 7.
I think it's smoother than what the Texas was,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as hot. It drinks a little easier than the barrel strength was.
No doubt.
That's why
I don't think it drinks much easier than that barrel strength did. It's definitely better than the Texas Select barrel strength.
It is true.
Because that barrel strength was smooth. It was dangerously smooth.
Yeah.
But I like this, and I like the complexity and the fruit and the spice that you get out of it, because I think it comes out a lot more whenever you get it. Over some ice, and it mm-hmm. opens up a little bit. That peach pie is really coming through for me.
Yeah. It's a very, very complex. I think we could sit here and pick more things out of it if we wanted to.
I think I'd rather not. I mean, we've already been doing this for 11 minutes.
I didn't say we were going to. I was saying we could.
That's good. That's good.
So, just...
So, run down to the Texas Beverage and Package Store and get yourself a bottle of Penelope Architect Series. French Oak Stave.
Or one of the other bottles of Penelope that we've tried, because they had those as well.
We got a lot up there that we need to try.
No, I'm out of the Penelope.
Well, I'm saying we've got a lot up there that we need to try, but for some reason I still want to go buy more.
Well, I know.
Because that's the kind of selection and quality that we're looking at in the bourbons over
there. That is right. And the way he put it, he said, they may not have a lot, but they've got a lot of selection.
They're focusing on quality. They want to be a honey hole. And so far they are. And I kind of feel bad about telling y'all about this, but...
Hey, that's what we're paid to do at this point.
Cost of doing business, I guess.
Yeah.
So y'all go check it out. Texas Beverage and Package, and get yourself some of this fine Penelope bourbon, which I scored a 7.
And an 8 for me.
Nobody cares about your scores.
Fuck you. God, you are in an awesome mood today.
I know I am, right?
Oh, it's just a
bubbly, glowing personality.
Why don't you lead us off with Killing the Day?
Okay, I will. I got a song, a little more rock than we normally go with, I suppose, but it's Never Leave by Coe Wetzel.
Ain't it funny how some things never change, how hard it is to cover up lies? Cause Ferndale Creek still runs the same as it did 5 years ago. And a high school still does an awful job of teaching kids what they need to know. And my ex-girlfriend's got two boyfriends, and that's funny as hell to me. I guess that's how it goes when you stay back home and never leave.
Good song.
I like it a lot. And I know a couple of people from my fair town of White Deer that don't care for that song, because I guess they feel like he's taking shots at them. But...
Well, maybe they should have left.
Or perhaps they shouldn't have two boyfriends. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would be a good start, either one of them.
Yeah. But I like that song. I like a lot of Coe Wetzel. But that was a more tame for the uninitiated into the Coe Wetzel lifestyle. I felt like that was a good start, like jumping off point.
That is. That was a good solid song.
You know, I didn't know if we should jump straight into like a country and western situation, or I was torn. Throw them in the deep end.
Ease into the shallow end.
So I went with Ease Into It, and I really like that song.
That's a good one. I don't think I had heard that one before, so I appreciate you bringing it.
Really? It's a good one. It's a newer one. I think it came out like 19.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you have today?
I'm bringing Coal Shooter from Cole Chaney.
That's a good song.
I like it.
Johnson County holler, where the mining company blew. He lived in a house with all five brothers, his dearest sisters too. The summer heat was as bad as the mug that the humid air did brew. In the winter, the snow just blowed on in through holes in the wall you could throw.
Slow, but really folky.
I like it. It's fucking long, but I love it.
It is. I mean, when it's a solid song like that.
You know, I actually thought about that song the other day, but I couldn't remember that guy's name. And I couldn't remember... I mean, I should have known it was called Coal Shooter. I knew it was Coal something.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember it. So I'm glad you picked that, because I had that thought like 2-3 weeks ago.
Solid one. It's been on my list for a while.
It's a good song.
It's finally floated to the top tonight. So.
You ever notice how many good songs start with like coal miners?
And it's that folky part of it, you know?
Yeah. Bunch of fucking hillbillies in Western Virginia.
They know how to play a fiddle.
They're just trying to get out, man.
Fiddles and banjos, man. They're
just
all
trying
about
to get out. And don't forget their whiskey jugs.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still play a lot of whiskey jugs in Western Virginia, or is it more like playing the meth pipe?
Well, I think when it comes to music, it's still a whiskey jug, because I think that the meth pipe would turn more into a whistle, because it's got that hole.
Maybe they use it like a flute.
A one-note flute? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
That would be a two-note flute.
Oh, yeah, two-note flute. They got a high and a low.
I don't really know how meth pipes work, so I'm assuming they only have two holes, like an in and an out, like a tobacco pipe.
I think so.
But I don't know.
You know, that's a good question for a meth head.
We might have to find one.
So, anyway, before we get any more into these fucking weeds, you want to start with a fuck up or our topic?
I don't care. You got a fuck up. Let's talk about a fuck up.
That was brought to you by your friend.
My good friend, R.D. Dolson, who we should apologize to because we've had a bottle of whiskey that he gave us sitting on the shelf for a solid month now. We just haven't got to it, and we're sorry, bud. We're sorry. But he sent us a picture the other day. I believe it was in a message, right?
It was. He sent us a
message. He messaged it into the Facebook group like all of you people should be. And it is a combine. A
burnt up combine.
Just fucking gone. And pull this up because I
want. That's what I'm trying to do. It's not.
If you could get it like a little pulled up, I'd be happy. Okay. So we look around in this picture. What do you think they were cutting? Beans, maybe?
It's something that they're cutting off at the ground. So yeah, it's beans because they've got an air reel.
You can see the wide rows. They do have an air reel. So this is beans. So I'm guessing we got a fire started towards the back of the combine.
You know, I mean,
it traveled all the way fucking forward.
But I would say it started at the back because all that's left of the paint is probably even header. With the tires on the header out.
Yep.
On one side and very there's some on the auger. Yeah. It melted the shields on the other side. If you look at that, it melted the nose cone and that side shield.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wreck. It's a newer combine. It's new enough. It's got the newer bin extensions on it. Definitely a rotor machine. But man, it made a mess of that thing.
I'd be interested to know what happened there. But I think we're pretty close there. Bean dust.
I would guess
got up in the engine compartment and just torched it right the fuck off.
And RD did say that he did not know what had happened. He just came across that picture. So,
well, of course he didn't. But we appreciate you trying, bud.
Apparently, he's one that likes the speculation because that's what he got was pure old fucking speculation on this
what
one.
What the fuck else was he going to do?
Well, if he'd have shared the story with us. He would have shared the story with us.
See, now I'm curious if his speculation matched up with our speculation of bean dust. Starting in the engine fire.
All right, so RD, go ahead and comment when this episode comes out and tell us what your speculation was.
Yeah.
Maybe we're wrong. Maybe that's cornfield.
I don't think that's cornfield because it's not a corn head.
I've heard of people cutting corn with those, though. I don't know why you would, but it
must have been short corn.
You would think so.
The air reel and all, it's...
But I'm in a... Yeah, with an air reel, you wouldn't think that would work very well.
I don't know, man. You're the one that brought it up. So Royce thinks that it's corn dust that started this fire. I'm sticking with my original plan of beans and bean dust.
I would go beans and bean dust. Maybe canola. I have heard canola is just as bad as bean dust.
True. But don't they normally use like one of those basket platform heads to cut canola or push it?
I think they either push it or they use a regular head.
Okay. I thought they used one more like what they cut sunflowers with, you know, with the big basket to kind of catch all that shit as it shatters. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And I don't know for sure because I think you plant canola narrow row. You drill it.
Yeah, for sure.
So you wouldn't have room to put the big basket. You'd want an air reel like this for beans. Because that's what the air reel is trying to do, is it's trying to stop your your header shatter, I think. Pretty sure.
I never ran an air reel, so I don't know.
I've seen one. We used to have one.
I know. I tried to scrap it with you once. Your granddad said, no, put it down. When Gary says you can, you can.
He was already gone.
Yeah, we know. I knew. Moving on out of this dark, shadowy corner we found ourselves in. Check out the picture. Speculate on the Facebook group, Your Wild Speculations.
And, as always, if you have a fuck-up like that, feel free to share it with us.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to some lighthearted news. Let me get that pulled back up on the old cell phone there.
Where's this coming from?
KFYR TV, News Channel 5. Looks like an ABC affiliate. I don't know. A Minnesota man is accused of falsely selling crops as organic. He's accused of making $46 million by passing off chemically treated corn and soybeans as organically grown.
How many?
$46
million. In how long of a time?
Well, we'll get to that point. Okay. So I'm gonna hit the highlights here, and then I'm going to go back through and tell you everything that I personally see as wrong with the article.
Okay.
This could potentially be a little stupid social media, too.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, let's see where this goes.
So this wolf character was charged July 7th with felony wire fraud. They say he falsely labeled crops grown on his rural Cottonwood County farm as organic and that he defrauded grain buyers and undermined the nation's organic labeling system. Okay.
Okay.
Says organic crops are grown from non-GMO seeds without chemical or fertilizers.
Bullshit.
Hey.
Sorry.
And they generate higher prices at market than non-organic crops. The organic crop certification is controlled by the Federal National Organic Program. The grand jury's indictment says Wolf's organic farming certification was revoked in 2020. However, according to the document, Wolf continued selling non-GMO grain falsely labeled as organic through an associate. Wolf's attorney is Paul... something says that Mr. Wolf's never been in trouble in 65 years. 65 year old dude. He's led a good life and now seeks his vindication, which I don't understand. That statement, I don't understand.
So I think that's way up north their way of saying he's innocent.
I don't speak norter.
I'm a married one, so I'm going to go ahead and speculate that's what that's saying.
You better than me. Your mother's one, too. But neither here nor there. Wire fraud is a felony punishable by up to 20 years in prison, according to federal sentencing guidelines. Okay, so we're going to go back through here, and we're gonna pick some things apart. So first off, Clint Eastwood will quit fucking with his pivots over there.
I'm not fucking with them. They're fucking with me, Tyler. They're fucking with me.
We'll fix it. I'll walk these kind of people through this by myself.
Keep going.
So, they say he makes $46 million by selling corn and soybeans, but his license was only revoked in 2020. That means in, what, a season? Maybe a season and a half? Two seasons? Two crops? Depending on when in 2020 his license was revoked?
Yeah.
Did it have a date on that?
It does not that I have seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it just says 2020. So, in potentially... no more than two crops. He's made $46 million. How many fucking acres is this dude running?
God, because a lot of times your yield is higher or is lower. Your price is higher. Your yield is lower. So you're kind of averaging that out. So he is selling. He's a big farmer. Big operator. Unless he just had a shitload in the bins backlog that he was selling.
I don't know. Okay, so $46 million divided by, we figure, double the board. So let's say, to be generous, let's say 10 bucks a bushel. Maybe 15 bucks. I don't know.
It depends on when he sold it this year. I mean, if he
didn't sell it this year, Royce.
Did it say that? Maybe he sold it this spring. Maybe he sold it
in February. Well, if the story's just now coming out, fuck around. It's all old crop stuff.
But, I mean, if he got caught selling it just a couple months ago...
And if they have already got a grand jury indictment on him, good odds they're talking about 2021 crop. This might be 1 year's worth of fucking crop.
All right. Well, in that case, I didn't think about it that way. But, yeah, you're right.
That's 4.6 million bushels.
The grain seller... All right, here's another deal. Indictment alleges Wolf sold grain without a grain buyer's license. In addition, the indictment alleges Wolf reportedly purchased non-organic corn and soybeans from a grain seller and resold them as organic from 2014 to 2020. Which probably why he lost his fucking license.
Okay, and here's another thing. Question for me. we're going to move past that $46 million part. Where did that go? That went over here. Organic crops are grown from non-GMO seeds and without chemicals or fertilizers. That is wrong. Non-GMO seeds is correct. Without chemical or fertilizers is wrong.
Because there are organic licensed fertilizers and chemicals.
Right, right, right.
And a lot of the chemicals are way worse than the non-organic ones are.
Most generally, yes. Okay, so I skipped over one that I wanted to touch on. Prosecutors say Wolf falsely labeled crops grown on his rural Cottonwood County farm as organic, and that he defrauded grain buyers and undermined the nation's organic labeling system. So you're saying that you just got to put the fucking label on it? Like nobody was doing a little background checks on this shit?
Apparently that's exactly
what they're saying. Which lends credit to my theory that it's a fucking marketing ploy.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what it's always been.
And we get down here. Already discussed.
Because what this says is the indictment alleges he was repeatedly buying non-organic corn and beans and reselling them as organic. So he'd just go into his neighbors. He wasn't even growing the shit. He was just going out and buying it, maybe from an elevator, and going to his organic purchaser and saying, hey, look, this is what I grew. So who knows how big his farm is? It could have been a half section.
So I saw a comment on one of these people that shared this story on Twitter, and it said the reason that it took him so long to get caught is because they had to do the paper trail on where he bought non-GMO seed and sold it, because they could not accurately find any kind of pesticides on his beans or corn. Because there's not a test. This all might be bullshit, but I read this in another story that said they cannot accurately determine whether or not it's a like Roundup or whatever on the grain.
Unless you listen to some of the big organic fanatics and then you test your food and it tests positive for so many parts of Roundup and so many parts of this, which I think is kind of bullshit.
I would just like to know how much. I don't know. It's an interesting topic.
It is an interesting topic.
And I hope the 65-year-old bastard doesn't have to go to jail for 20 years.
I hope he gets something. I'm not going to say he should just get off
scot-free. Let's just break his ass. Let's just take his fucking farm away. Send him to the Poe house.
I'm not saying he should get away scot-free. But, I mean, he was defrauding people.
Oh, yeah.
What he was doing was not right.
He was taking advantage of stupid people.
I mean, you're still taking a lot of wind out of my sails, but yes. I do not defend organic practices, but...
I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I don't understand how they managed, like, you would think as much fucking hype as organic puts on organic, that they would be able to tell you pretty fucking quick. It's like, oh, no. Get this bullshit out of here.
Yeah, I think there's an auditing process that you're supposed to go through, but somebody here wasn't doing their job, I'm guessing.
No, and that's a bigger deal. I think that he should definitely get in trouble because he did it for 6 years. But yeah. I think other people should probably get fired on this deal.
Like, oh, yeah,
the
definitely.
The dude buying the shit from him, like, didn't say, hey, bud, you got some log bucks. Maybe we go check the farm. We lay eyes on this shit other than whenever he brings it to me in a truck. And it's like, man, I got 4 truckloads off that 100 acres. God damn, how'd you do that?
How are you making 500 bushel an acre on organic crops? You are just...
Without any chemicals or fertilizers.
Without any chemicals or fertilizers. But wait, there's more. It gets better. He's the best organic producer in the world.
Super farmer.
That is exactly right.
But I'm also kind of curious. You don't hear more stories about stuff like that.
No, this is really the first one I think I've heard of.
I've heard of stuff, but I don't think it's ever been from a farm standpoint. I've heard of some shady dairies doing some stuff.
Yeah.
But I haven't ever heard much on the actual, like, grain and silage side.
I about said something that I would have regretted if we have any dairy listeners. So we're just going
to. Yeah. So I know for a fact, I know a guy that actually grows some organic stuff, and he uses. Organic hog shit.
Yeah.
As a fertilizer source. And he says the paper trail on that shit is just ungodly. Like, he said there's no way to fake it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they, if you stack some up and you, like, don't spread it all, or it doesn't come out exactly, like, maybe your scales were a little bit off here or there somewhere, he said it's like affidavit after affidavit after affidavit.
Really?
Of where it went and what happened.
See, I hadn't heard that. I know there's a dairy out east of town here that they're organic. And so all their grain's organic, and they've got to do compost. I didn't know it had to be organic compost.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you could use any compost.
I don't think so.
So, but I knew compost.
Because there's lots of stuff that people do to compost to make compost. So you have to be a certified organic compost producer.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will put stuff in there to help it break down.
So maybe all he's using is just manure off of his organic dairy.
That is going to be a lot more common than.
Yeah.
But
anyway, his corn crop usually doesn't look that good. They have some troubles with it, but he's still making a go of it. He was complaining about the all the paperwork and everything he had to do for it.
See, but I don't think you have to do as much. Like if you do like organic beef manure, I don't think there's near as much paperwork involved as there is with organic, specifically yeah. The hog shit.
I think you're right. I think just because there is so much control over the hog industry.
I think it might be part of it. It's hard to say.
There is on, I know the feedlots, they've got to have the paperwork right. For their lagoons and everything. And I think the dairies are pretty close to that. But for some reason, shit, I think the hogs is even. Hog and chicken. Maybe chicken's not as bad.
I don't think chicken's as bad.
Hogs are pretty bad. Everything is regulated on that.
Yes, sir. Okay, then. Moving on.
All right. Well, let me get out of here. What else you want to talk about tonight, Tyler?
You know, we can talk about fertilizer for a little bit if you want to.
Let's talk about fertilizer.
And to start that off, we're going to take a quick look at the old markets today. If my phone will work.
You want to look at the agricultural markets?
Yeah, the grain markets.
Here we go. I've got it.
So let's see here. We got wheat down.
Corn was down.
Beans up.
Nearby corn was up, or was down.
Oats are unchanged.
New crop up. Corn was far. Or was, God dang.
Rice is down, feeder cattle down, live cattle down, cotton down. So the good news is that while you're seeing all the devastating drops in the grain markets, the fertilizer has been following to a certain extent. I think they've slowed down a little bit, but I think the markets have gotten a little bit more stable over the last week. Relatively speaking, to what they were doing.
I don't know if they've hit rock bottom or not.
Well, I'm not saying that they've hit the bottom. I'm saying that they have stabilized compared to what they were doing like last week. Whenever they were limit down, limit down, limit down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your ureas, your MAPs. And also, it's Southwest Fertilizer Conference, which in our neck of the woods, it's definitely normally kind of a stagnant time for fertilizer markets because that's when everybody's going to try to dump out their fall fill programs and whatnot. And so everybody's kind of hesitant. They're like, you know, we got to sell enough to make sure the plant stays running, but we don't want to sell too much.
Yeah.
So
that's why you have your plants working on their shit. And
no, because they're trying to keep them running right now because they're about to go into that fill program. So they want to be able to ramp up production. They don't want to have to shut it down. They don't ever shut down right now. Anhydrous. They just fucking shut down at the drop of a hat, but neither here nor there. Like your 32 producers and urea, normally they're pretty stable right now about supply. Not price, supply.
Supply.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what it does. Hopefully it comes down a little bit, make it a little bit easier to pump some money into some wheat, assuming it rains and we can get some wheat up.
That would be nice, assuming it rains.
Yeah, you know, that's the deal. I had a guy call me the other day asking about what to spray as a burn down because he's going to plant wheat. And he was asking, well, can you do this? I was like, well, if it rains, you're fine. Well, what about this? If it rains, you're fine. Well, what about this? Well, if it rains, that'll work. And it's, you know.
If it rains.
It's like, here's the deal, bud. Spray it. Do whatever you want. If it rains, you'll be fine. If it doesn't rain, it doesn't matter because the wheat's not going to come up.
That's a good way to look at it, unfortunately. So what is it going to do, Tyler? What is the weather going to do?
Oh, it's going to rain.
Eventually.
It's going to rain. Got to keep the faith, little brother.
We've never had a drought that hadn't broken.
Not yet.
Not yet.
First time for everything.
I hate your optimism.
If you're going to set records, set records. If we're going to be the windiest, let's be the driest and the hottest. Which we are working on the hottest part.
That is no joke. Have you seen the forecast?
Yeah, it's terrible.
God, I hope that breaks before the rodeo.
The two best days at one point in the like 15-day forecast were like 96 and 98 for a high. And that was Tuesday and Wednesday, or Monday and Tuesday, something like that.
Of next week?
This week.
Oh, yeah.
Like a couple days ago.
Yeah, like Tuesday. Tuesday was supposed to be in the low to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And wasn't it fantastic?
It was nice. I enjoyed that. Tried to get a few things done. Yeah, so I don't know anyway. Hopefully it rains.
Hope so. If not, I think you're going to see the markets come back up. Because from what I've seen, I took Adam's advice and I joined that grain marketing group mm-hmm. on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Did you join that?
No.
Don't.
Okay. I won't.
It is a bleak and dark dystopian wasteland in that place.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Just people bitching each other. And it's all the I states complaining about other I states.
Makes sense. Some Yankees can't never get along. It's amazing they won the war.
I mean, one of them gets a rain, and the other ones are just, well, you got a rain, but the rest of us didn't, so that doesn't make a shit. And everybody's corn's about to burn up, but nobody's corn's about to burn up. And I don't know what to believe anymore, other than the whole world's a mess, and there's small pockets of good grain around the world, or around the corn belt.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Pretty sure I saw a post on there, one guy wishing for a Derrico to come through Iowa again. It's like a 50 or 150 mile wide windstorm, like straight line 90.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Because it would help the corn price. Never mind.
At what cost?
Exactly. And that's the deal. And I've always kind of subscribed to this, and I think somebody else on that relayed this information too, is the bad part is for your area to do well, you're wishing bad on somebody else's area.
I mean, kind of to a certain extent.
Because that's what it takes here for a corn price. You need something bad to happen to the I states.
Not like devastating. We don't need to fucking bankrupt people. We just need them to have kind of an off year.
And not saying a Derrico would bankrupt people because they can still cut it for silage. They did that, what, a couple years ago when they had that big one that, what,
remember.
Just leveled all of Iowa?
Yeah. Yeah. But even whenever that happened, corn didn't jump up that fucking high.
It didn't. But
it got up to like where it is now.
They also were not saying corn was a lot lower when it started.
Well, that is accurate.
And there are people that are forecasting if the weather trend continues, there's a possibility we could run out of corn.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to a friend of the podcast. I'm not going to name names because if he wants to out himself, he can say it on Facebook. But he was saying some of his the people he's buying from, they are worried about, you know, if you don't book it, get it locked in, we don't have a crop this year. We could be running out of corn, which he said isn't going to be that big of a deal because there's stockpiles of other grain that they could swap to. And when the price gets so high, they'll swap to like Milo's and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's alternate routes. So it's not like it's going to be hugely detrimental, I guess, to anybody. It's just
probably not.
The price of everything will go up, though, because corn prices follow everything else.
Yeah, but how about this 9.1% inflation we got? Ain't it just fucking great?
Is it up to 9.1 now?
Yeah.
They finally come out and say that. I think it's still higher than that, but
I mean, they're saying 9.1, but I'm pretty sure it is higher than that. I don't know. I haven't done everything, but
well, wasn't it? It wasn't that long ago they were saying it's only point something percent, like 8.1, 8.2, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. now they finally upped it another percent. Huh?
So there's like a senator or a congresswoman or something like that in Colorado. Did you see the video of Hunter Biden on his crack scales where he was haggling?
I did not, but I've seen, I think, the picture.
Well, you should check out that. But anyway, they had Hunter's little crack scale, and it has a little bit of crack on there, and it said 9.1 on the scale readout, and over the top of the crack they had written Bidenflation. Made me laugh. It was really funny.
I heard an economist talking that this is the first time he's ever seen them raise the interest rate during a recession when inflation is this high. When we were in a recession, raised the interest rate. But then again, inflation usually in a recession isn't going up. You're looking at deflation. So what do you do?
Not entirely sure how exactly we got into this mess. I'm not entirely sure.
This conversation.
The mess.
Yeah.
The nationwide mess that we all collectively find ourselves in. I'm not entirely sure how we got here because I was talking with some guys at lunch today.
A war in Ukraine.
And it's like, you know, somebody said something. I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about that. They're like, yeah, there's just been so much to keep up with. You keep forgetting about all these other. It's like, fuck, that felt like that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
6 months ago. Fucking nuts.
It's a fast moving world right now. Leave you behind if you're not careful.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But I say to that, you shouldn't take life so serious. You never make it out alive.
That's why I don't follow the news. I just kind of...
I follow the Twitter news, which sometimes probably more dangerous.
You're probably not helping yourself on that one, but...
At least it's more local. Like, I don't get, like, you know, constant war in Ukraine updates. It's normally more agriculture news. Like, the 65-year-old that it was $46 million and 20 years in prison. That kind of shit.
That's probably a little harsh for that guy. 26 years in prison?
No, 20.
Oh, 20. He'll get out with 10 and with good behavior.
Maybe. What if he has to blood somebody to get protection in the pen? Some bitch might die in there.
Well, you put it that way, Tyler.
Just saying, you never seen that movie? TV show? Or what it was.
Which one?
Fuck. I don't. This guy, like, he ends up going to prison for something kind of stupid. Like, he probably shouldn't have had to go to prison. But he had to do, like, a 5-10-year sentence. Well, he needed protection while he was in the pen. So, he went to this gang, and he said, hey, guys, I need some protection. They're like, all right, yeah, man, no problem. You come hang out with us. First, you got to go kill that guy. So, naturally, he went and killed that guy before he got killed. Next thing you know, he's looking at a fucking life sentence over some stupid 5-year bullshit that he, you know, just kind of snowballed on him. Got out of hand really quickly. Much like this conversation.
It really did.
But you know what? Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. What else we got?
The grass is starting to back up around here.
Well, that's cool. Could you get rid of that?
Yeah, well, you want to... Oh, I've got something. Have you seen down south here the lines at all the sale barns? Because it is so dry in South Texas and North Texas that everybody is just selling out. And the cattle barn or the sale barns can't handle all the cattle going through.
Yeah, there was, I think, a sale barn in probably like OKC West or one of them that was talking about they sold 20,000 like 4 to 6 year old cows.
Yeah.
In like a week. Just a fucking unheard of number of reasonably young cattle.
And there hadn't been a whole lot said about what's going to happen to the cattle market going forward from here. That could put a big premium on beef.
Could.
It could definitely help the replacement market.
Yeah, your replacements are going to go up. I don't... I think it's going to have to be pretty dry for a long time to really bring up like the boxed beef deal. Because think about it, you're selling them cows. A good portion of them cows are probably getting killed. So there is still beef supply. Your primal cuts might go up a little more, but I mean, there'd be hamburger for fucking days. So I don't really know how that would work out.
And that was the other question I was going to ask you is, what do you think's going, where do you think most of these cows are going? You think they're going up north there to like Wyoming?
I think some of them, but I think a lot of those folks are going to be awfully worried about hauling like southern cattle all the way up north.
Yeah. Well, I know when we were in our last major drought in 11, you know, a lot of the big ranches and the big ranchers that could, they were either leasing ground or they even bought ground in Wyoming, Montana, places up there where it wasn't so bad as it was here, and they moved all their cattle up there. Not all of them, maybe, but a significant proportion of them. And so I didn't know if this year, instead of doing that, which I don't
remember. They're dry up there, though.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about... Yeah, I think Wyoming... I know Idaho's dry, and the Dakotas are dry-ish, part of the Dakotas.
Yellowstone is not.
That's true, but how are you going to get around to turn out cattle when the rivers...
Well, and I don't think you get a graze Yellowstone anyway.
Well, no, but I mean, the lands to the north or to the south of it, obviously, you're going to have some fucking troubles in that.
Yeah.
Or whichever direction that river runs. I think it's kind of northwest to southeast, because doesn't it go, isn't it the Nebraska? Not the Nebraska. The Platte? No,
it's the Yellowstone.
Nebraska. Yeah, but what is that a bigger, what is that, what river system is that the bigger part of?
R&D's going to get on this.
It's about fucking time they pulled their weight.
I mean, we've got this computer. We might as well use it sometimes. Yellowstone was the wrong thing to Google.
Are they talking about cowboy hats or what?
The TV show.
Yeah. I don't think that map's going to tell you what I want to know.
I don't think so. Let's see it on map. Okay, so what? Yeah, it is the Yellowstone River. And it drains southeast. Drains southeast.
It's the Missouri.
Okay.
I was thinking Nebraska, Missouri, whatever. Yeah, that's all part of the Missouri River system. That's what the Yellowstone goes into. So I'm guessing it runs pretty well north. West to southeast.
Yeah, it would, because then the Missouri drains into the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I mean, I don't know how big of an area around Yellowstone National Park was getting the rain, but they are getting some rain up there apparently, or were.
They were. I don't know that they still are, because I haven't heard anything about that in a week or two, but let's be honest, there's lots of other shit to hear about.
Things don't last in the news very long.
But you know, that was funny. That's like we talked about a while back, about like half the Dakotas is about to dry and blow away. The other half's fucking snowing and wet.
Had a derecho come through there.
You know, so I don't know. That whole northern deal confuses me, because there's like hot, dry, cold, wet, hot, dry, cold, wet, cold, dry. So I don't know. But I don't know how much grass there would be available up there. Because I know that up there, they have been in a drought for a while. Because you hear about that a lot whenever you talk about, like, geese and ducks.
Well, especially the northwestern states. I think all of the western states have been in a drought for a while. And it has crept north. Usually the northern part of that had been left out. But even this year, it's not great. Not a great outlook. Here we go. Drought map. Who are you calling?
Hey.
Hey, real quick. You're on the podcast. I got a quick question for you.
Okay. I got kids screaming in the background.
Well, it's a quick question. Is it dry up there?
No, we've had good rain this year. We're at the end of the drought.
Like pretty much all through Saskatchewan?
Yeah, except one spot west of us.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Getting pretty nice. Yep, see y'all.
See ya.
So Canada's wet.
That's probably where the water's coming from.
Could be. So yeah. When you...
That was Curtis Reed of the Livestock Podcast and the Cliffs Farm, for those of you that were wondering.
One of our very helpful sponsors.
Kind of helpful. He didn't really want to. And why are his kids always screaming when we call him?
Because they're little red-headed assholes like he is.
Fair enough.
My apologies, Celine. I love you. Your kids are awesome. But they do have some Curtis in them. Let's be honest.
Apparently too much. Yeah, so anyway, that'll be interesting. See how this whole deal plays out.
Yeah, that was my question is...
Maybe...
Are the cows going to slaughter...
Maybe we should pull a lonesome dove on this deal. Let's round up the herd. Head north.
It's going to be a long way to get to good grass.
Yeah, we're going to Canada.
I don't know what we're grazing on.
It'll be fine.
You remember back to that conversation we had with Sean about buying that Galaxy?
We don't fucking need that, Royce. We're going to do this old school. We're going to have a chuck wagon and the five cows. It'll be fine. We'll feed them on cornfields or something.
I mean, apparently along the route, the corn's burning up.
Hey, Parker, if you're listening to this, we need you to get your chuck wagon together. Get you a good team of mules.
Yeah.
The three of us. We'll just...
Just the three of us.
What else do we need? We could bring Hadley. That'd probably be a trip of a lifetime for Hadley.
We could bring Hadley. I was also thinking this is a good time to employ maybe a veteran. Parker's going to need help.
No.
And aggravation.
I don't want Ruger in the chuck wagon. Now, if Sean wants to come, like if he wants to ditch this reserve idea and come home, I mean, I guess I won't stop him on that.
Maybe he can scout areas with us or for us.
Yeah, he can use the drones. Yes. Y'all need to go east.
Very far east. Like, why don't you go through Mississippi?
It'll be fine because we don't have to cross that river with all the snakes that Sean died in.
App name.
So, you know.
Oh, wasn't that
spoiler alert for those of you that haven't seen that. He was the Irishman.
Yeah, but wasn't that the Canadian they were crossing?
No, it was further south.
For some reason.
I don't think he made it very far out of South Texas.
I thought it was further north than that.
No.
Because it says what river it is.
Yeah, but it wasn't the...
It wasn't the Canadian. No, I think they do. Was, there is a deal where they cross
the Canadian. What's the one in New Braunfels? What's that river?
The Brazos? Not the Brazos. No, it's the... Because we got Guadalupe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Guadalupe. I'm pretty sure that's where Sean died. Because, you know, they went to San Antonio to find a new cook.
Yeah, because
Bolivar wouldn't cross it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Are you fact-checking me?
I am. Well, that brought up some... Should have specified some more. Lots of Sean's out
it
there.
It had to be because they went to San Antonio to get a new cook.
But also, I think the... it's not just going to tell me.
Well, it would help if you weren't on image search.
It still doesn't say...
You are really fucking...
Yeah, I'm not doing great.
This editing is going to... I'm going to be so fucking drunk whenever I'm done editing this.
I'm sorry. All right, I'll quit. I quit. Hit the button. Because it's the Canadian where they have the...
That's where they run into Blue Duck.
That's what I was fixed to say, yeah.
Yep. 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 It's the Blanco River.
Oh, it was the Blanco.
That's what that said, but that didn't seem right because they were asking if they should let their kids splash around in snake-infested rivers.
Of course. Always let your kids play in snake-infested rivers.
Well, duh.
Builds a tolerance. Just like germs.
Is that how that works?
Once again, the advice you receive in this podcast is worth exactly what you pay for it.
Yeah, for sure. Because I actually think that... I think the more you get bit, the worse it gets. I think it's like bee stings.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
One thing about it, I know I would be crapping my pants if I saw a ball of water moccasins like that.
Me and Bolivar going back to South Texas. I can tell you that right now.
I don't care how hot it is crossing no more. There?
Yeah. Yeah. No, fuck it. He can whack that dinner bell all fucking day. I don't give a shit. So this is fun. I feel like we've covered Random Thoughts, Royce.
I feel like we really have. We're going on, what, an hour now?
So we're going to do some whiskey trivia. We're going to let these good people go on about their day. Just shorter episode.
Rex will love it.
He was a little pissy about that 2.5 hour one.
Wait till the next one comes out.
And the one after that. Okay, Royce, in which century was whiskey production legalized by the English government? 16, 17, or 1800s?
17.
Wrong. 1800s. It was 1823.
That late?
British are a bunch of stiff, upright bastards that don't like to have fun. They're more about their pints.
Well, that is true.
Oi!
They are beer drinkers.
They don't like the whiskey in it.
That's fairly passable. Maybe a little Australian in that one, but...
I was thinking more like kind of a Northern Ireland situation.
True or false? One of Thomas Jefferson's election pledges was to repeal the American whiskey tax.
True.
You are right. He fulfilled this, he fulfilled his pledge when he was elected in 1801.
I learned that off the back of a whiskey bottle.
Oh, did you?
No.
That Jefferson bottle up
there? We don't have the
Jefferson bottle up there, do we?
We had to throw it away. We ran out of room. It was a Jefferson. I don't think it was like a Jefferson's or Jefferson's Ocean, but it was something that had like Thomas Jefferson or something on it.
Okay. And no, the Jefferson's bottle is still up there. We hadn't thrown a bottle away out of that collection yet.
Are you sure that's not the Jefferson's Ocean up there?
We have not thrown a bottle away.
Oh, the ocean's down there. I'll see it now.
We have not thrown a bottle away. We've tried all the podcasts yet.
Well, we should start that now. But anyway, we appreciate y'all listening in. This is probably, for those of you that just like the real long, funny, not informational ones, you probably didn't enjoy this as much, but we appreciate you hanging out anyway.
We do. Thank you.
We tried to rein her back in, be a little more ag-related, but I also feel like we did a pretty good job keeping this shit entertaining.
We tried. It's been kind of a weird day.
Make sure and check out all of our podcast sponsors. We've got the Texas Beverage and Package Store
in Groom, Texas.
Give them a shout out. Also, we've got Mo Cattle Company, Meat Club Lambs, and Cliff's Farms. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week. Stay safe. Love you. Bye.
See ya.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He moved, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around because the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die.
cows with guns. They crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough, these uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die.
Oh, oh, oh.
Cows with guns.